WBR Fairfax Radio. I'm Sue Bartholomew. You're on the Commons. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions, as always. And today I am thrilled and delighted to have my old friend Arnold McMahon on with me. Arnold is a firm believer in the First Amendment, and that's pretty much what our show is going to be all about today. We're going to be talking about your right to express yourself freely. Arnold, thank you so much for joining me today. Hello.
Hello, yes.
Hi, Arnold. Thank you. Thank you for joining me today. You and Elizabeth have a web page out there called the American Homeowners Resource Center.
Yes, we do.
And it's an interactive website, and it's available for people to go and read up on what's going on and get information that is otherwise very difficult to find. Can you tell me a little bit about why you decided to set this up and what you hope to do with it?
Well, yes, there are a whole bunch of reasons. First of all, one of its major purposes is to fight the corruption which exists in so many homeowner associations. And we feel that one of the important ways of doing that is to shed light on that corruption, because, as the old saying goes, the last thing that cockroaches like is light. And by allowing the individual citizen to voice their views, hopefully we can put the spotlight on a lot of this corruption so we can get rid of it. And we believe that this is part of the fundamental spirit of America, that the individual citizen is able to express his or her views, and hopefully in that way correct any abuses that take place in a society.
But this isn't just something that you're going to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, here's my website and I'm going to add to it. You've opened it up and made it available to just about anyone who cares to send something in.
Yes. It's made completely interactive so that any citizen can very, very easily send in information, which then gets very easily posted on the web so people receive it. And we receive a whole variety of opinions and views, some of which we may or may not agree with, but we believe that they should be posted to promote this robust and vigorous debate, which we think is the very lifeblood of a society, and especially these days when the media, so much of it is a corporate media, when certain views are not allowed to be heard out there, we believe that this is a very, very important way where the individual citizen can bypass the restrictions which are imposed on them, preventing them from having access to newspapers, TV, radio, etc.
But you just said that you don't always agree with everything that comes in, yet you post it?
Yes, of course. You know, we don't believe that we are the arbiters and fountains of wisdom in every single area, and we believe that through, as John Stuart Mill said many years ago, that it is through this robust debate that eventually the truth will emerge. And we think it's important to get a whole variety of viewpoints, and we're very concerned that in many homeowner associations, this fundamental right of free speech is violated and prevented, even though it goes against the Amendment number 1 of the Bill of Rights.
This is very, very unusual, especially in homeowners associations. As you just pointed out, they don't like to hear opposing viewpoints, yet here you are, you're paying for a website out of your own pocket. It's an enormous website. It's a database, as Elizabeth keeps correcting me. And you've got viewpoints there from just about everywhere.
Yeah, and it has really developed over the last year or two. Now on a monthly basis, we're getting over 600,000 hits. And, of course, that doesn't come close to anybody like Yahoo or anybody like that. But this is a very specialized site. But we do believe it will continue to grow, and that it is very important that we maintain that vigorous debate, you know, in a society. And we've seen just you know, in the last year, homeowner associations which fine people who even do such things as fly the American flag. I think that's mind-boggling to most people in this country. But it gives some sort of idea of what is happening in many associations around the country. And what's also disturbing is that CAI, which is Community Associations Institute, which is located in Virginia.
Rub that in, Arnold.
I'm sorry?
I said, rub that one in, will you? It's right down the road from me.
Right. You know, they are this national lobbying organization of lawyers and everybody else who would like to make a lot of money out of homeowner associations. And they issued this edict shortly after September 11, where everybody wanted to fly the American flag as a symbol of the support of the country. And the CAI issued this edict, which basically says it's okay for homeowners to fly the flag in homeowner associations for 6 months. And when I heard that, I was wondering, what right does this private organization of lobbyists have to tell us citizens that we have now a right to fly the flag? But that gives you some idea of the type of mentality that governs so many homeowners associations.
But, Arnold, you know, they wanted to suspend. They recommended suspending the restrictions that associations had on flying the flag for a period of 6 months, as you pointed out. But yet, any other suspension, any other so-called violation, all of a sudden, then they can't suspend it, because if you were to do that, you would be, you would never be able to enforce anything again. And how can you just suddenly stop enforcing the covenants? Isn't it terrible? Didn't people move in because there were covenants?
No. And this, of course, is part of the great tragedy of homeowner associations. Basically, homeowner associations now are so widespread across the country, almost one in every five Americans live in it, that basically most, about 20% of Americans are in effect forced to live in homeowner associations. If they didn't, then they wouldn't be able to find the housing, because there isn't, enough housing out there outside of homeowner associations to accommodate everybody who's living in homeowner associations. And then they are basically forced to sign this document, which basically says they have to give up certain constitutional rights. And it seems to me that, first of all, that's unconstitutional. Secondly, it seems to be the creation of a 51st state in the Union, that we now actually have the United States is shrinking in size, because we have this new state, which is stretched across all of the states across the U.S., And it's trying to operate according to its own rules and laws. There is no state, there's no government in this country which forbids the flying of the American flag or any flag. So how come that homeowner associations can come along and dictate to one-fifth of the American population that they can or cannot fly a flag? I just think this goes against the very fundamental principles of this nation.
You know, I really like the, you just said that it's the 51st state, and I never thought about it like that, but you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate, and it has its own, in a sense, its own government, and it makes laws and regulations for governing all of the people who live in there. And if they're going to do that, then when people leave associations, they should provide their passports to immigration officers when they enter the United States. And obviously that's not going to happen. But it really is a very, very dangerous mindset. And it involves thought control. I understand you're having a guest on later on in the program, a doctor in Sacramento, I believe, who flew the United Nations flag.
Yes.
On his home, and now his homeowner association is after him to fine him, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, I think it's extremely important in our country that we allow for diversity of views. Because if, for example, we were to squelch views which are opposed to our own, then if another group gets in power who wants to squelch our views, then I think ultimately everybody is the loser. I think we have to be a mature enough society to be able to accommodate all sorts of views, and we should be thankful that there are a variety of views out there so that it can make people think and debate some very fundamental issues.
I absolutely agree with you, even if I don't necessarily agree with a person's view. I mean, one of my favorite sayings, Arnold, is if everybody's thinking alike, no one's thinking. And don't you think that if everything is squelched, you sort of stem creativity, you stem advancement, you get into this incredible gang mind thinking. It's just ridiculous. I think ultimately we're hurting ourselves by allowing this to continue.
Well, if you remember going back a little bit in history, how Nazi Germany was able to develop was because they developed or tried to develop this homogeneity of views so that everybody, as you say, in essence, stopped thinking.
Yeah.
In our society today, thinking is kind of a dying activity with all of the mindless television shows which are out there. Anything which can be done to stimulate people's thinking about issues, I think, is extremely important. That's the very lifeblood of a democracy. If it doesn't have that, it's going to die.
And so what you... Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. And so what you've done is you've provided a forum to ensure that the different divergent views continue, if you will.
Yes, and also there are things on there, for example, if you feel that some government official in some capacity is mistreating people or is violating their rights, etc., then one can post something on there. I think it's extremely important that things get out there in the public, because the last thing that crooks and everybody want is for the light to be shined on them in the public so that people can see exactly what they are doing.
That's I absolutely agree with you. What do you think, in your opinion, what is the best part about your website? Actually, before we answer that, maybe we ought to give the web address so people can find it. Hey, Arnold?
Yes. It's very simple. It's www.ahrc.com.
Okay. And what, in your opinion, is the absolute best part? Because, as you said, there's a lot of stuff there. You've got lawsuits, you've got articles that were written by individuals, articles that were written by published in actual newspapers. You've got people telling their own stories. You've got press releases. You've got your listing and qualifying businesses can register over there, and people can come in with their comments. You know, we've used this business. We don't particularly like it. Attorneys, any kind of vendor is subject to being up there, right?
Yes. I think that the two central main features of the site are, one, it acts as a clearinghouse for information from all across the country. People can send in material. It'll get posted on there. So people see that their own particular problem, if they have one, may not just be a local problem, but it is part of a broad national one. And the second important thing is it gives people a chance to fight back. It gives people a chance to tools by which to try and gain redress on their problems. And we've noticed over the past year in a number of cases where because of this, homeowners have been encouraged to go ahead, for example, and if they have a dictatorial board or a corrupt board, to go ahead and try and recall it. And we now have a number of cases where citizens have actually gone ahead and done that. So I think we're all in there encouraging each other to work on these things, and it's this community effort to make these homeowner associations at least as livable as possible, and to act in a fair, honest, and open way for all residents in there.
Arnold, do you think they can be livable?
Well, that is a deeper issue. I really don't think that we really do need homeowner associations. They just make life more complicated. They place more restrictions on people. We can achieve the objectives that we want to achieve without having homeowner associations. And just to give one simple example, in California, there's the homeowner association law is called the Davis-Sterling Act, and Mr. Sterling was part of the legislature that passed that act. He told us in an interview about 2 years ago that he himself would never live in a homeowner association. So the very person who passed that act, if he wouldn't live in one, should we even be passing an act to create these homeowner associations?
Well, it's funny that you should mention that, Arnold, because usually, I mean, I also believe in having different viewpoints, and I have invited proponents of this regime, although I'm not talking out of school when I say I don't particularly like them, and I don't think we'll ever get them to work properly because I think they're fundamentally flawed. But when I do get members of the industry on here, members of the Community Associations Institute, people who are out there lobbying for these laws, people who are out there feeding the Larry Sterlings and giving them all this information, they don't live in these things, Arnold. They refuse to live in them.
Of course. Of course. And I think the more that people realize that these homeowner associations are significantly dysfunctional, when they go to purchase a house, one of the key questions they should ask, first of all, is there a homeowner association? And interestingly enough, in the last year or two, I have seen ads out here in California for homes, and one of the things that they are beginning to state is no homeowner association.
Yeah, we've seen that here. Unfortunately, 10% of all housing in Fairfax County is in an association.
Where I live here in Southern California, there's at least 80% of all homes are in homeowner associations.
I'm sorry, 90% is in. It's only 10% that's not. So, you know, you have people who don't want to live in an association have got a much smaller pool of housing available to choose from.
And of course, this is one of the dimensions of this is that certain cities now require that any new housing developments have to be in homeowner associations. And I think that right there is an abdication by the city government of its you know, responsibilities. And they're doing that, of course, primarily, at least that's what they claim to, for economic reasons. But people, time and time again now, are running into these major problems, and especially when they allow homeowner associations to be built, for example, on unstable slopes. And then the homeowners move in, and they find all of these problems, and they don't have any redress. So what is happening is governments are shifting liabilities onto the backs of homeowners. And when you buy a home, you want a home which is not a hassle. You want one which is free of problems. That's the whole purpose of a home. So there's a vast array of tentacles which reach out into this whole homeowner association business, and part of the purpose of our website is to make people aware of these things so that they can, in their own particular situation, avoid getting sucked into very, very undesirable situations, and hopefully also gradually developing public policy where we will have a significant change with respect to homeowner associations.
I had someone on from Jan Bergman, who's president of the Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida last week, and he talked about an association in Florida where the homeowners are being special assessed $93,000 to essentially rebuild the complex because it's just falling apart. $93,000, and the homes start at $125,000.
There are massive problems with homeowner associations all across the country, and people are finding when they move in that, according to the CCNRs of their association, that these boards can go ahead and put up massive assessments on people. And not everybody, you know, has zillions of dollars in the bank to be able to, you know, pay for those things.
But aren't we advertising these things as protecting property values?
Yes, and in many cases, we know here in California, in fact, what has happened, property values have even dropped because of the terrible state in which these homeowner associations are.
Property values have actually dropped?
Yes, yes, yes.
In an association.
Because what happens is you move into a homeowner association, there is shoddy construction, the association goes ahead and sues the builder and the developer. This stigmatizes the houses. You have to disclose to any potential buyer all of these problems. And, of course, what happens to property values, it's going to go down.
So basically the fact that they're advertising this as associations as protecting property values. And, you know, Arnold, a lot of people have bought into that. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like associations, but they will protect my property values. And, you know, therefore I'm going to have to take the bad with the good. But you're even saying that they don't protect property values, and property values in associations can be lower than those that are not in associations.
Yes, and in addition, if lawsuits are filed, then you have most lenders are not going to want to start lending against property in which there are lawsuits, so people can't get mortgages.
So how can we get the word out that these things do not protect property values? In fact, they're going to lower your property value.
Well, one of the ways, of course, is by using the, like your program and the ARC website and every other possible way to get that word out and say that homeowner associations can be dangerous to your financial health. Maybe there should be a little disclosure on every little flyer for selling a home in a homeowner association, much like we do with respect to smoking. It is dangerous.
It is. I like that. You talked a moment ago, and I never heard that one before, and I really like it. The people who live in associations actually move into a 51st state. We've always talked about a fourth layer of government. Do people necessarily want to move out of the American zone? And do people necessarily need to be governed by yet another layer of government?
Well, I think our general philosophy and approach in our history has been that we should have the minimum amount of government as possible. And the whole thing of homeowner associations goes flat contrary to that. When they start telling you what particular flower you can plant in your yard, what color you can paint your windows, how long you can keep your garage door open, this is hardly the land the land of the free.
Well, you came over from across the big pond, and so did I, and I don't know about you, but my perception of the land of the free was that it really was the land of the free, and we didn't have this sort of stuff in England.
Yeah, the ironic fact is that people from other countries, when they hear what happens in homeowner associations in America, they're absolutely shell-shocked because they cannot imagine how in homeowner associations strangers can do to your home what they would never allow in their own culture. And yet at the same time, America is out there saying we are the land of the free, and all the people around the world are saying, well, if that's freedom, we don't want it.
Well, my mother told me that she'd heard a program on BBC where they talked about homeowner associations, and they were talking about a dog being, you know, a couple of ounces over the allowed weight limit for pets in the associations. somebody had to tear out a driveway, and this was someone in Maryland a few years ago, because the driveway was actually 2 inches wider than the width that they had put in their request when they requested to redo their driveway. It's just absolute insanity.
Yeah, when you hear these things, it's as if the inmates have taken over the asylum. And what makes it even worse, at least in the regular three layers of government, there are government codes about how they have to act, et cetera, et cetera. But this fourth layer of government is not subject to all of those government codes. And so they can ride roughshod over the rights of each and every individual. For example, in elections in homeowner associations, they're supposed to be secret ballots. Well, the existing board and management company know how everybody is going to vote who've sent in their proxies prior to the election. There are no secret ballots. And, of course, then they can go ahead and manipulate that, and in some cases even change the voting pattern of things, and nobody ever knows. So we've created something here which I think is only going to increase in terms of the problems that it's causing, and we really need, in fact, I think, unfortunately, we need some very strong federal legislation to oversee homeowner associations, and to amazingly, state that homeowner associations cannot require people to give up their constitutional rights, to mandate that they follow the proper procedures of any governmental body. That, I think, is the stage that we have reached at. But of course, the lobbyists and those who make a lot of money out of homeowner associations are going to try to lobby that to death. But the problems are only going to increase.
What do you think the chances are that we'd start building them? Some of the existing associations can be dismantled. Some of them, probably because of the way they're built, it won't be so easy to do that. And there are some people out there who actually want to live in one of these because they want to control how their neighbors live. But what do you think the odds are that we'd be able to knock some sense into someone somewhere and say, wait a minute, we don't need these, stop building them, enough is enough? Any chance, do you think?
Well, of course, but it's probably going to be a long journey. But I think that is a road that has to be traveled, and gradually people have to develop this head of steam. At the beginning, many things always seem impossible, but it's the question of going out there and making it happen. And if enough people are concerned about it, it will take place, because these homeowner associations are simply spreading, all across the country, and the stated goal is to put every single home in the United States in homeowner associations.
That's a scary thought. Arnold, thank you so much for joining me today.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. I always love having you on. It's always fun talking to you.
Okay, Sue. Take care.
And thanks a lot.
Okay,
and
bye.
Don't go away, because when we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. William Durston. Dr. Durston is having problems in his homeowners association because he's flying a flag, not the Stars and Stripes, I'm sorry, but he's flying the flag of the United Nations as a means of protesting the war. Now, whether you agree with his position on the war or not is not the issue here. The issue here is whether or not he has a right to express his opinion, and that's pretty much what we're going to limit. That's the focus of what we're going to be talking about here, because if we squelch one voice, we squelch our own. So anyway, stay tuned. Coming right up, it's going to be Dr. William Durston. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Don't go away. We will be.
bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
WBR Fairfax Radio, I'm Shu Bartholomew. You're on the Commons. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. And today we're concentrating on the First Amendment, and joining me during the second half of the show is Dr. William Durston from Sacramento, California. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You have a United Nations flag that seems to be causing a few people in your neighborhood some heartburn. Is that correct?
I would say that is correct, yes.
Okay. The last news article that I read was they were going to go into session. The association was going to decide whether or not to fine you. Are you being fined for flying a flag?
No.
No, not yet.
What the association, they sent us a letter saying that they were going to hold a hearing regarding the flag, and with that was a thinly veiled threat of punitive action, such as fines and liens on the house, that type of thing. In fact, the hearing never occurred. The hearing was supposed to be at the end of a homeowner association meeting. There was a heated debate on the UN flag issue during the meeting, and the hearing never occurred. The board appointed a committee to study the issue and actually asked me to be on the committee.
As to whether or not you should be allowed to fly a flag, a UN flag, is that...
Yes, just to discuss the whole issue of, whether flying a UN flag violates homeowners' rules, and from my point of view, whether homeowners can make a rule that basically infringes upon your First Amendment rights.
Well, usually they say that if you buy into an association, you've signed away all of your constitutional rights. And unfortunately, the courts have upheld that. And the courts have made people take down the U.S. flag. In fact, there's one fellow in Florida who's being threatened with foreclosure because he's got a flag of the Stars and Stripes. And so, I mean, associations have been getting away with so much stuff. I agree with you. I think that you should not be allowed to give up your, you should never give up your First Amendment rights or your constitutional rights.
Yes, well, I am not currently an expert on all the law on this, although I may soon become one. It's interesting, we moved to this development in 1983, and we're actually lot one, the first lot in the entire development, which now has about 8,000 residents.
Wow.
And certainly when we moved in, we had no anticipation that we'd be giving up our First Amendment rights, and there was no rule regarding flags at that time. The rule on flags was passed in 1999, and it applies to decorative flags. Now, it was the homeowners board that put the UN flag in the category of a decorative flag, which we believe is somewhat ludicrous, particularly because the issue really came up after an article in the local newspaper, which explained why I had taken down my U.S. flag and put up the UN flag in protest to the Bush administration's going to war on false pretenses without U.N. support in Iraq. So I am not totally positive about what you say, that you do sign to give up your constitutional rights when you move into, you know, a place with a homeowners organization. My gut feeling is that you do not. And I believe the case in Florida actually involves the flagpole more than the flag.
Oh, well, yeah. Pardon it's. Me. It started off as the flag, and then after 9/11, it became, oh, did we say the flag? No, we meant the pole. And so this is typical of associations. There are a number of them across the country.
Yeah. Actually, our association encourages people to fly the United States flag.
I sort of read that in one of the articles. It says that American flags may be displayed at any time.
Yes.
And, all right, you say you were not told that you give up your First Amendment rights or your constitutional rights. I wasn't told. I moved in 1980. Mm-hmm. And nowadays they make sure that you get this disclosure packet. But nowhere in the disclosure packet does it say that you give up your rights. It says you can't, you have to get permission for, to paint your door. You have to, you can't have clotheslines. You can't park your truck out front, and stupid things like that. But none of them actually say you are, and I start this show, by the way, with you're now leaving the American zone, because you really do. And this is basically what you're facing now.
Yes.
You are facing all of these problems because you chose to exercise your right to express yourself.
Yes, that's true. And it's ironic that the people who are most vocal saying we must take down the U.S. flag are the ones that consider themselves the patriots. Well, the people that founded our country were not flying the flag of the ruler at the time, also named George. They were opposing that rule and flying, making up actually another flag in protest to the unreasonable policies of the ruler of that time. So certainly to say that someone must fly a U.S. flag, cannot fly a U.N. flag, is certainly not in standing with the principles that our country was founded upon, and a clear-cut violation of the First Amendment. The Supreme Court has ruled, I think back in 1931, that display of a flag is an extension of the First Amendment right to free speech.
Yeah, I believe you're right. But again, like I said, the way the courts are interpreting this is that you give those rights up, you sign away those rights, you agree when you move into an association. And that's the problem that I'm having, because I don't think people would agree, most intelligent people would agree to give up the rights that they claim that you've given up. I can't imagine you giving up, for instance, the right to fly the UN flag.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure if it was in bold print at the top of the CCNRs that when you move into this neighborhood, you agree to give up your First Amendment right to free speech, that it would be a very quiet neighborhood.
You're,
how many people would move in?
You're described as being a pacifist and someone who sort of is a peace-loving person.
Yet, I don't.
I'm sorry?
I would certainly describe myself as peace-loving. I'm not entirely a pacifist. I was in the Marines in Vietnam. I volunteered to go in Vietnam, and I fought in combat in Vietnam. I see many parallels between the Iraq War and the Vietnam War. Both were started on false pretenses, and both put U.S. soldiers in a terrible position.
All wars do that, don't they?
Pardon me?
All wars do that, don't they?
They do, but particularly in a situation where a good soldier can't distinguish between a combatant and a civilian, and that's what our soldiers are facing right now every single day in Iraq, and which we faced in Vietnam. And I think, in certain cases, war is the last resort to protect innocent people, and certainly World War II was an example of that. So I'm not entirely a pacifist, but I do believe that war should be a last resort, and clearly was not the last resort. Are the pretense that we were going into Iraq to eliminate its weapons of mass destruction has been proved to be entirely false. The UN weapons inspectors have largely accomplished that already.
Okay, I want to get back to you and your personality, and yet you find yourself, you do describe yourself as being a peace-loving person.
Yes.
And you don't necessarily want to fight, whether it's a war or not, but yet you find yourself in a war of your own here, don't you?
Well, it's interesting. We've come into conflict with certain people in our neighborhood, got a couple of threatening letters from the Homeowners Association, but on the other side, we've just had this overwhelming, heartwarming outpouring of support, some from people that we already knew but hadn't been in that close contact with, and from people throughout the neighborhood and actually throughout the country. I work as an emergency physician, and I see patients who tell me just out of the blue, they've read about this in the paper,
yeah,
or heard it on the radio or TV, and say, thank you for standing up.
Yeah.
People are afraid to stand up against the jingoistic foreign policy of the Bush administration for fear of being labeled traitor or unpatriotic or cowardly, that type of thing. And I think this is why this is, you know, striking such a chord with so many people. Mike's situation, you know, having fought in Vietnam, being a physician with, you know, a certain amount of status that that carries. I don't care, call me a coward or a patriot, that type of thing. That's just nonsense. But nobody should be called a coward or unpatriotic if they stand up against what they believe is wrong.
I guess, I'm trying to get back to, more, not so much your views about the war, but more what you're going through with your homeowners association, because here you are, someone who's peace-loving, who lives in an association, and at least where I live, 90% of all housing is in an association, so you really don't have a whole lot of choice in that matter. And my guest earlier talked about sending people to the 51st state. We talk about having, you know, a fourth layer of government. But take someone like you who's got some very strong beliefs and who's exercising his right, basically, to express himself and to talk about, hey, look, you know, I don't agree with this, and so I'm taking down my American flag and I'm going to hang the UN flag because this is what my heart's telling me that I should be doing. Yet then you find yourself embroiled in a battle with your neighbors because of your beliefs or because of your willing or your wanting to express yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our own particular case, I would describe the homeowners' threatening letters as an irritation. And in a way, it's had more positive than negative effect because, as I said, it's raised this issue both locally and with people across the country, that you shouldn't have to give up your constitutional rights to live in a certain neighborhood. And in our particular situation, I think it's absolutely wrong, and actually it's somewhat silly that the homeowners have done this. But I see this more as symbolic of the somewhat oppressive political atmosphere across the country. And if this serves to help people realize that, you know, this is not going along with the principles our country is founded on, well, then it'll end up being a good thing, even if we end up having to go to court to uphold the right to fly the UN flag. I do fly the U.S. flag, by the way, on occasion. I flew the U.S. flag on Memorial Day. I lost buddies in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
The American flag can stand for a lot of different things. It can stand for support for the principles our country was founded on. On the other hand, I think it's been somewhat hijacked by the Bush administration to stand for this belligerent foreign policy and the policy of preemptive war, that type of thing. So as far as our own situation goes, though, I'm not terribly concerned about the homeowners' threat, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, there's a quote in one of the articles that I have here that says people have faced firing squads to stand
right
up for things that they believe in. So going before the Marshall Village Owners Association is not a big deal.
Right.
I admire you for doing that, and I think more people need to say, hey, you're a minor irritant, and just, you know, get out of the way. I've got bigger fish to fry. But that, you know, there are a lot of people who are losing their homes. I mean, I think associations have gotten to the point where they're so powerful, and they have the right to do things that even the government can't do to you. For instance, they can take away your house non-judicially sometimes in some states. And some people do face fines, and some people are not as willing to stand up or able to stand up and fight for themselves. Some of them roll over and say, okay, you know. Some of them just can't afford to go to court.
Right.
And so
exactly.
they have to roll over. But 50 million people live mm-hmm. in associations. Mm-hmm. And so...
There's actually a law being considered in California. It's passed one of the houses of our state legislature and is being considered another, which would specifically state that homeowners in associations such as these have the right to freedom of political expression, including like placards in their windows, signs on their lawns during election time, and banners and flags. So we'll see how that goes. My understanding is that there's a lot of support for it, and it's likely to pass in California.
Well, I hope it does. There's a lawsuit in New Jersey that's essentially doing the same thing, basically, and it's trying to protect constitutional rights in associations. But tell me about this committee that you've been appointed to in your association to look at whether or not a UN flag is a decorative flag. How do you describe a decorative flag?
I would describe it as a very loosely organized committee.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
With the president, during this big hoopla at the homeowners board, proposed that a committee be formed, and he specifically suggested that I be on the committee. So far, I've gotten one email, and as far as I know, the committee's not done anything else. I think that the formation of the committee, more than anything else, was the homeowners board's way of giving in without seeming to give in on the issue. But we'll see.
They're hoping this whole story will go away, basically.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because at the board meeting where the flag issue is discussed, normally there are about 6 to 8 people come to these board meetings, and the topics are usually dog droppings on people's lawns
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
overwatering and the number of flower pots people have. I'm glad there was large turnout for this meeting, and people were talking about constitutional rights.
Oh, good.
And whether preemptive war is justified. So in a way, too, even though it was somewhat contentious, I think it was good in that it raised people's awareness that there are more important things to be thinking about than some of the petty things that the homeowners associations tend to dwell on.
Well, yeah. I had to laugh because that's pretty much what you described pretty much describes all association meetings, you know. Somebody comes in and complains about the neighbor's dog or,
right.
Somebody's got something in their window that they're not allowed to have where their garage door was open longer than
exactly.
the allowed 10 minutes. So you think basically that this committee is just a smokescreen, just to something to hide for the association to hide behind?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think it was... basically, from the president's point of view, an attempt to kind of give in gracefully without seeming to give in. Now, there are rumors circulating that other homeowners are going to sue the board for not enforcing the flag rule against it. So it's hard to know what the outcome is going to be in this individual case. If it's settled just in our village, as they call it, that'll be fine with us. It'll avoid a lot of legal hassle. If it does go to a court case, we would... believe and hope that we would win, and in that case it would actually set maybe a more far-reaching precedent for people around the rest of the country who find themselves in a similar situation.
You have two associations, a master and your own. Is that
yes.
what you've got? And which association is the one that's sent you the nastygram?
Well, it's officially it's the local association, but it comes out of the office of the Master Association, and the general manager of the Master Association sent me a letter of her own in which she refers to, quote, your blue flag. So I believe that the Master Association is behind it to some extent.
And which association has the rules against decorative flags? Because obviously there's nothing in the covenants, right?
No, there's nothing in the CCNRs. It's the Marshall Village, the local association, has the rule about you can only have a decorative flag up within a certain few days of holidays such as Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, or somebody's birthday and that type of thing.
I
don't know whether the Master Association has a similar rule or not.
I would, you know, just a hint, a tip for you, and all you listeners out there, if you're facing something similar, check out and see what the governing documents say. Normally they say, in most of them, and my guess is that's pretty much the wording you're going to find in yours, is that the association has the right to adopt rules and regulations pertaining to the use of the common areas. Now, I'm assuming the flag is on private property, right?
Yes.
So, therefore, they're probably acting outside the scope of their authority. And that's one place that you could look at if you're going to have a committee and say, oops, guess what? The association does not have the right to adopt a rule on how I can live on my property. That's something that, you know, it's just a hint. It's just a tip. You'll have to see what it says in your governing documents, but my guess is that that's pretty much what you'll find.
Are you referring to our own?
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't say common area on the flag rule.
No, but the governing documents, not the rule.
Yes.
But what the authority that the board has.
You may well be right on that.
I would go to your covenants and look at your covenants and look and see what it says about what rights your board has. And it probably will say, my guess is it'll say that they have the right to adopt rules and regulations pertaining to the use of the common area. And if your flag is on private property, then their rule is, they don't have the authority to adopt that rule.
Good, I'll check that out.
And that should help you a little bit right there. And if you do meet with your committee, you can say, hey, wait a minute. Or you could even just send it to the association and say, you know, please cite your authority. And for those of you listening, I mean, that's always a good place to start, is to ask them to cite their authority, because, frankly, quite often they don't have the right to do half of the stuff they do. So I want to wish you a whole lot of luck.
Thank you.
You know, and I want to thank you for taking the time off to join us.
Thank you for having me on your program.
And good luck to you. Check out that rule, because, like I said, they may not be, they may not have the right to do what they're doing to you.
Good, we'll do that.
And thank you for standing up for your rights.
Thank you.
And, for those of you who, for the rest of you, please stay tuned, because at 4 o'clock, you're gonna take a ride on a nostalgic night train with Squire, but up next, it's Motown with Curtis Graham. Please plan on joining us next Saturday, same time, same place, right here for On the Commons. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. See you all next week. Bye.